back to A Better World. This is your host, Mitchell J. Raven, and we're very glad you're joining us again today. Today we're going to have another very interesting show. We have with us Dr. Effie Chow. Dr. Effie Chow is here from San Francisco, where she founded the East-West Academy of Healing Arts. She has been appointed by former President Clinton to the Commission on Alternative Medicine, part of the United States government. She has been a consultant to the United States government in the number of different kinds of departments, helping them, Health and Human Services in particular, helping them understand the role that holistic and alternative medicine can play in the larger national health policy. And her credentials are so vast, I can't possibly sum them up right now. But she is known around the world for her healing, for her work as an acupuncturist, and her integrated system, which she'll be speaking about in some detail on the show. She is also the author of this book and numerous videos and audio tapes that have been in circulation like good she all around the world. She's made a difference in many people's lives. She's networked into the upper echelon of healers and holistic practitioners in this country and around the world, and is really making a significant contribution to the promotion and education of holistic medicine and health. So, I know I hit on many different points there because they're all true. I mean, you're really making a great contribution, and we want to just thank you from the beginning for the work that you've been dedicated to.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm just delighted very much so.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you are one of those people, Effie, that have been on this track for some 30 or so years.
Oh,
you've
yes.
been committed. And it's just always a real pleasure for me to see people who have made up their minds to do something in this world, and they just do it. Yeah. Nothing gets in their way.
Yeah. Well, I think it's whether you believe that you're here on a mission on this earth, and this earth is like a spaceship, and that there's
like
other
Buckminster
there's
Fuller
other
said.
Stations, yes, mm-hmm. That we go to, and so therefore we have to take advantage of this station that we're in. And I'm very fortunate that I have the background of the Eastern and the Western, so that what I do can be more effective.
Exactly.
And as you mentioned in my background, that I like being the practitioner, being the healer, as well as I like being the strategist and the policymakers. For example, back in the 70s, we were helping our teachers, our acupuncturists, get out of jail, and other practitioners and holistic practitioners getting out of jail in the 70s.
For practicing medicine.
For practicing
acupuncture.
The cases got thrown out of court because nobody was claiming they were practicing medicine. They were practicing acupuncture or homeopathy or holistic health.
Energetic balancing.
Energetic
what have you.
Balances. And so it was really quite exciting that time. And now that we have risen to the point that there's in the government the Office of Alternative Medicine, which has become the National Center for Complementary Alternative Medicine, mm-hmm. which I was on the advisory council to help develop, and then the President's White House Commission on Complementary and Alternative Medicine Policy. And that is really exciting.
I would have loved to have been there with you, Effie.
Yeah. the culmination from that is that we know what's going on in the whole country, not only there, but the world, because as you know, the world has their eyes on the U.S. as to what's happening. And so our report now that is waiting for acknowledgement from Congress, from Senate, from the President, from the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services, we're waiting to see what is the outcome.
You mean a report that you submitted for consideration and review?
Yes, because we...
Is now being reviewed?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what did it say? What did it propose?
Oh, well, we responded to the demands or our mission that why we were set up for is to take a look at research and how we can better document and prove the value of complementary alternative medicine, and also how accessibility can be improved. And so that means reimbursement and so forth. And the other is the education of the health professionals as they exist now. How and what do they need to learn in relationship to complementary alternative medicine? And then the other is the education and training of the practitioners of the complementary alternative medicine. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. And so it was very exciting. We held town hall meeting throughout the whole country. Really? And so we got input from over 1,000 different people. Three minutes only, but they can submit all that they want. So we did. That was very exciting. So we know what's happening throughout the country.
And had I known, I would have
also
submitted.
Also the world. Yes, yes.
Next time.
Well, I think things are going on as a result of this of this commission. And so it opened up wide. And I think the universities now, all at least 75% of the medical schools have complementary alternative medicine in. And so it's never too late to submit, even if it's years from now, because
excellent.
This whole evolvement is going to be, because it took 25 years for acupuncture to be funded by insurance, which happened only in 1997. And it was 1973, 74, 75 that the big
uprising,
excitement,
upsurge.
Excitement about acupuncture because of Jane Reston and his experience, you know.
And yeah. Nixon's visit to China.
Yes,
and
Nixon's
that.
Visit. It's all happened around the same time.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So we're still
evolving.
What's
peculiar is that the work is fabulous. It's interesting, though. It's somewhat based on a fallacious premise that Western medicine, allopathic medicine, is scientifically based, or that the use of pharmaceuticals has a scientific basis and has been properly researched and tested, but that is not necessarily so. In fact, there are many instances where we find it's not so at all.
Hmm. Well,
so it's like complementary medicine is being put through a more rigorous test than our standard conventional medicine.
Well, I think you have to go back to history.
Your response?
Right. And you have to go back to history on that, because science was established at the same time as medicine, sort of like, and it evolved. So therefore, the testing of Western medicine is accordance to the research protocols that they have. And this is one of the big debates that we've had in all these, various commissions and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the research protocol and instrumentation to measure the healing energy that we're talking about? The qi in China has not even established what qi is. And I'm not sure that we can be definitive about that, because it's ever-changing.
That's right.
And the Taoist theory and the Buddhist philosophy is that the only constancy in our life
is change itself.
Is change itself, exactly.
So go measure.
I think it's important to try to measure
definitely.
For the science and medical people of the modern Western.
This is where Dr. Korotkov from
Dr. Korotkov,
St. Petersburg
Korotkov.
Comes into.
Yes,
we've had him on the show.
Oh, he's marvelous with his GDV machine.
Yeah.
And it's evolving too all the
definitely.
Time. You know, so we're working very closely with Dr. Korotkov and other people who have begun to design.
Now, you met recently with him, you mentioned, with William Tiller, with Deepak Chopra, and a meeting recently down
Dr.
in Bethesda.
Dr. Roy in Bethesda.
And its
Deepak
purpose
Chopra's,
was...
physician, MD with the Chopra Center came. Deepak couldn't
I
make
see.
It.
Mm-hmm.
But he was with us in another conference in San Francisco, Deepak. And we're also cooperating on various studies and also the next Congress on Qigong, the World Congress on Qigong, which will be the sixth World Congress on Qigong. And so we have a group of wonderful and far-thinking scientists on board looking at the electromagnetic spectrum, the bioenergy, all of that, which is very exciting. And we're having them research with the Qigong masters, and I've been measured too myself,
yes,
and,
uh-huh.
and the outcome is very exciting, from breath, you know, like before, and then doing breath itself, and then doing the exercise, and taking measurements from all that, and it measures your stress level, it measures your psychological level.
Now, which instrument is this?
This was Dr. Krotkoff's instrumentation.
Okay.
There.
The GDV.
Yes, uh-huh. And then there's thermography, there's other, you know,
Valerie Hunt, as we were discussing earlier,
yes.
has a system also of
yes.
measure. I don't know, I'm not familiar with it, but
yes,
I know mm-hmm. she has one as
and
well.
And she goes back a long time, too.
Oh, by all
as
means.
As well, yes.
One of the first people to actually be able to measure energetic emissions from
yes.
hands.
Yes,
and she
along
worked with a bevy of healers.
Yes, and Bill Tiller is another one that
yes.
goes way back to 1970s, too, when we were having all these major conferences and,
exactly.
and exploring, you know, and bringing to the surface all of these. So,
Effie, thank you for your commitment. It's so wonderful because today we get to reap some of that harvest.
Yes.
You know, God knows there's so much yes. further to go, but there is a lot that has come to the fore because of the efforts of the earlier pioneers. I was perhaps unfortunately too young at the time, but I was in the second graduating class of Chinese medicine in New York, Tri-State Institute.
Yes.
I was in the second graduating class in 1984.
Well, and you form history too.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And we were working at changing legislation here.
Yes.
We practiced illegally, actually,
yes.
for many years.
Oh, yes.
Before
yes.
the state would let us take the exam.
That's right. And San Francisco and California was earlier. Nevada was first
yes.
in the acupuncture, and
yeah.
and then California was about third, and New York was a little later.
Yes.
So you were illegal longer than we were.
No doubt.
But you know, what has evolved from this movement, though, Mitchell, is that it's a real emphasis on people knowing themselves, and also it's a self-help and self-care and giving the responsibility back to the individual. And this is where we have to be, because the healthcare system is so expensive, and that many people don't have insurance. And so people learning Qigong, this is one of
exactly.
my specialty areas, and
exactly.
Chinese medicine, because they can't puncture themselves, but they can certainly learn more about herbs and definitely do the Qigong exercises and the meditation, and also help sense and feel their energy and become more sensitive to their own state of health and their
exactly.
body's feeling. And that
sense of balance and imbalance.
That's right, yes. And so that I think the next medicine is really the medicine of the people. And that is, and I hate to use the word medicine because it connotes, you know, that
yes.
you take drugs and surgery, but we're using it broadly in a sense that
yes.
the people can create wellness within themselves. From
that in the way that love is medicine.
Yes, love.
The way that Native Americans speak of a touch of sage on a hot rock is medicine.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
it's something healing.
Well, love
the true sense.
Is a four-letter word that
mm-hmm.
is essential. And this is no matter how high your skill is, no matter how intelligent
exactly.
you are, no matter how you heal people, but the maintenance of the healing or healing of yourself is love.
Would you give us an overview, Effie, of you've developed your own Qigong system, an integrated healing system.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Qigong system. Could you just walk us through the principles of that? Because that will start to bring the entire subject of medicine and healing from the external, relying on someone else, to the internal, where it really
mm-hmm.
most belongs.
Yeah. Well, it's not either or.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talk about an integration of Western modern medicine and also the ethnic healing practices.
Yes.
And which is a whole system within itself. We tend to look at acupuncture as isolated modality. And when we talk about complementary alternative medicine, that's what we tend to do, is think about the modalities, and we want to sort of band-aid the system and introduce just
quick
this
fix.
One. So therefore, the Chao Integrated Healing System is taking a look at the systems and how we can integrate them. And if we look at and compare them, we can either see them as different, or we can see that the differences have similarities.
Yes.
And that one right. complements the other. And so,
well
for
put.
Example, the body, mind, spirit, and how we relate with universe. This is part of the Buddhist and the Taoist principles, that we can't exist in isolation of the whole, which is the universe and the nature. And if we pollute nature, it's coming back to haunt us, and it is already, because our 10 greatest killers is because of our lifestyle, or bad lifestyle of living, and the polluted environment. It's no longer the germ or the virus or, you know, whatever. It's that, and that is what we do with ourselves. So that's
an interesting point.
So that,
in fact, the germ and the viruses and the bacteria become more prevalent because of the poor lifestyle choices.
That's right. And therefore the
weakened
lifestyle,
immune function.
Weaken the immune function, and that's it. So the very basis of the child integrated healing system is taking a look at everything that helps to build the immune system, build up the individual from a physical, emotional, spiritual, environmental status. And so simple things like acknowledging people and looking in the eye and smiling and saying hello as if you really mean it. And today we're too casual. We just go by and sort of,
And ignore people, actually.
That's right. Or else you greet them with a, you know. And then also to say goodbye also the same way, so that you never regret that you weren't more attentive to the person when something happens to them, you know. And how often have we, you know, sometime somebody dies. When the last time we said we didn't pay much attention, then there's all. So all this is self-esteem.
Regret, remorse.
Yeah, and self-esteem. When you acknowledge a person, it gives them self-esteem. So that self-esteem, the lack of self-esteem, begins to erode the individual. And so therefore that's very important. And laughter. And the laughter is a sound of the heart. And so if you laugh, and this is why I prescribe at least 3 belly aching laughs a day, not just hee hee, you know.
Something
really
meaningful.
Deep and really to the guts, you know.
Get into
and
it.
Open up your heart, you know.
Yeah, right.
And so
beam.
Exactly, yes. And at least 8 hugs a day.
Oh.
At least. Now, the laughter and hugs.
These are qigong hugs, folks.
Yes, qigong hugs. Yeah, good. Just exchange of energy. Yes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, taking time for yourself, because a lot of time people get ill because they don't have time for themselves, or they feel guilty taking time for themselves, or they don't think of themselves enough.
Mm.
Like, they always have to help people, and they feel that they feel guilty taking time for themselves.
Out of balance.
Yeah, and that's why we get sick, because somehow we have to take time for ourselves. And if you don't take it in good times, like say go out and play tennis, or even just sit and enjoy being there.
Nature.
Yes, with nature. Then God or Buddha or whoever you refer to as a greater spirit is going to knock you and say, you take time for yourself.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so therefore you have to take time, but then you're chasing around seeing doctors and all that. So, anyway, and so meditation is very important as part of it. And then exercise and diet are all areas that we need to
look at. Do you promote the original traditional gastronomy of Chinese? More related to the use of raw food or things that go on more in the Western countries?
No, it's a moderation for people. But if you have very severe conditions, then I think you need to take a look at the diet from a more more serious and more critical standpoint.
Like from the point of view, as you know, in the five element theory, for instance, which has always been historically a very hotly debated and controversial subject among traditional Chinese practitioners going back many hundreds of years. Most people don't even know that that's the case. They just think it's all one big, fine pot of wisdom. But in fact, there were many attitudes expressed toward the five-element theory. But as you know, in it, for every organ is a related food.
Yes.
And meat.
And relationship.
And so when you speak with people about diet, do you include that understanding?
I do, definitely. I use the yin-yang concept. But I I speak from a Western standpoint, so I use language from the Western standpoint. Yin-yang is like negative, positive polarity, yes. The dual polarity, and the laws of the five element is the harmony of nature. And definitely, there is a very different way to look at the human body, mind, and spirit from the five element. And there's some divergence, but not basically the mm-hmm. principle itself, mm-hmm. okay? There's many paths to go. But the fact that our organs and our cells were a microcosm within a macrocosm,
yes.
and that our minute cell has the whole universe reflected in it. And our organs then relate to the time of day and the weather and the emotions and the time and the sounds and what we eat,
sure.
and taste and all that. And like I can talk to a whole group of people, and even as large as 10,000 or 5,000 or individual one-to-one, I can tell what their moods are by their dress.
Mm-hmm.
By the colors that I see in the
yes.
audience. So because each organ and emotion is reflected by the color
sure.
that they wear. And people
sure.
choose to wear what they feel they need. And it's you choose yeah. to wear and you choose to eat what you basically need for health.
Mm-hmm.
Not because it looks
good.
That's
a nice supposition.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit more complex than that, actually.
Oh. Well, it is, because it's answering to the balance or the imbalance of the energy in your system.
Right.
And so spleen is yellow, okay, heart
yeah.
is red, and lung and large intestine is white, and kidney and bladder is blue, and liver
black.
And gallbladder is green.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're wearing these colors, you have basically chosen what you need to supplement
yes. mm-hmm.
those
mm-hmm.
particular any origin, and then it goes into all the other relationships.
Exactly.
You
exactly.
See.
I want to bring something else up, because you had given some indications of some of the work that you have done with people individually, which is just so interesting to me, and I believe
yeah.
will be to the audience. Based on your Qi Kung system that you've now given at least some bullet points about, some of the work that you have done has been really rather formidable. You were telling me about a story that I think, in fact, you referred to Deepak Chopra before. He referred someone to you who was in a
yeah,
coma?
He refers quite a few people to me. And
I'd love to hear that story again, if you
well,
would share that.
One specific case of recent is a gentleman, 82 years old, who had three strokes and one seizure, rendering him comatose, and needing a feeding tube, and non-responsive to light or skin or pain inflicted on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he would, the doctors has questioned very much. They said it's doubtful he would ever walk again, nor eat again, nor really have full consciousness, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at a university hospital, university medical center. And so the family flew me there, and this was February the 1st he had the problem, and February the 12th when I arrived he was exactly that, still comatose and non-responsive. And in the one session we got him responding. That was just the evening. I was just going to go see where he is. And so he responded. The next day we got him with help into a chair. And the next day we got him walking 20 feet. And subsequently, fifth day, we had his catheter out and put him on the toilet. And he walked about 200 feet on the sixth day. Tenth day, around then, he was discharged from the acute unit and was discharged to a rehab nursing home. That's unheard of for that particular.
And with, you had mentioned,
and
full cognitive
He walked
awareness.
400 feet, and in 3 weeks' time, I got the doctors to write an order to go home for visits. That means getting in the car, getting in, and at home he responded really well. And the doctors came on around every day while I was there at the University Medical Center, and the chief medical doctor there is telling the resident, says, well, since Dr. Chow came, his progress has been remarkable. It's been unbelievable. It's been striking. These are the words that he have used to them.
Wow.
And they've been most cooperative, the physical therapist, the occupational therapist, the doctors. And so when we wanted 3 hours of physiotherapy instead of 1 hour, he wrote the order. And so they were,
cooperative.
And very cooperative. And then when I felt that he should really exercise his swallowing, mm-hmm. So they ordered ice and that. And
phenomenal.
And even when we were feeding him pureed food, he was still under the normal medical order of NPO, which is nothing by mouth. But they allowed me and the family to feed him to see what this park was. And he was eating three quarters of a full meal of pureed food. And he was still on NPO. But, you know, so these are the kind of working together.
But remember,
very exciting.
This is not provable. Just remember.
Well, they observed. Yeah.
We have enough time for one more story.
Well, we have a little child, 6 years old, who was born cerebral palsied, had a brain damage. And so when I saw him a year ago, he first came in, referred by a doctor, and he was like a spaghetti. You know, you move him, and there was no bone structure, and really limp. And I traveled to Ottawa once a month for 3 days, and then by June, he was up and walking. In the meditation, he got so powerful in a group. He attended my group.
You're teaching meditation and Qigong?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, Qigong includes meditation.
Right.
And the exercises.
But there's the moving and the sitting, etc.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he got up and stood up, so I ran over and we walked. He walked, and he's now still walking and now doing much better. And he writes beautiful poetry.
Oh, God.
Beautiful poetry.
Cultivate chi and build strong bones in many ways.
Yes, build strong immunity, and that's where
exactly.
it is. And also a strong mind, because the mind can do everything. A mind
exactly.
and love, that is a great, it can overcome almost anything.
That's a beautiful point to end on. I want to thank you so much, Effie. Xiexie, for your great work.
Xiexie. I really appreciate being here.
Good. Very glad to have you.
You're doing wonderful work, too.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We need to bring many ideas out to the world and change it. This is Mitchell J. Rabin for A Better World. Thanks so much for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you all next week.